Ladies and gentlemen, one in the chat, if you kind of already know what's going on, you've been on Twitter, you've been on the social medias, and you've seen Boogie's house get vandalized, and you're thinking to your brain, this is a Keemstar trick. He's tricking us again with some more forced drama. Well, I can assure you once again, the chat is wrong, and Keemstar is right once again, because here's the facts, right? Boogie 2988, Wings of Redemption, are the most entertaining motherfuckers on the planet. They're not even trying to be. It's just their life. Let's pull up the drama alert Twitter. Let's just kind of go through this. Boogie 2988's house was vandalized, allegedly, by the local shaman known as Flaming Star, who is upset Boogie didn't give him the Magic of the Gathering cards. Someone doesn't know how to spell. And then, of course, we have the spray paint on the roommate's car. Not even Boogie's car. That's his roommate's car. And then he posted a bunch of unhinged posts declaring a holy war on Boogie City. Here's the backstory, right? Boogie told us on stream that the shaman, Flaming Star, grabbed Boogie's dog. And Boogie loves his dog more than anyone. At that point, Boogie backed out of the deal with selling Flaming Star the magic cards for $100,000. He went and retrieved his magic cards and said, deal's off. I'm not doing this deal with you anymore. Then Flaming Star went to the local police and was like, hey, look, these guys robbed me of my magic cards. And the police said to Flaming Star, this seems like a civil matter. You're going to have to sue Boogie, right? So then Flaming Star declares a holy war on the police. He said the city of Fayetteville chose war. This was very unwise, protecting Glenn Whitman and Stephen Boogie, right? All the tomahawks are out now. Let's see what happens since everybody wants to play games. I guess this is Flaming Star practicing his karate. So, like, Boogie's in trouble. The cops are in trouble. I sat down and interviewed Flaming Star, and we're going to play that interview live for you tonight. I don't want to do one of those react streams. Don't you hate that when you're watching some streamer and they're playing a video and they interrupt the content to give their stupid opinion, and you're like, stop pausing the video. No one cares. We're going to play this interview uninterrupted. I'm going to sit here on mute. We're going to go through the entire thing. I recorded an hour and 15 minute interview with Flaming Star, which we had to edit down to like 40 minutes, and it's jam packed. So then after we play the interview, we are going to get the cows on the line with the live reaction in the interview that I do with Flaming Star. You're going to notice that I look tired and uninterested, and I'm just kind of like I was very sick and I had limited time. Because allegedly, Flaming Star was going around Boogie's town committing all kinds of crimes. And the cops were looking for him. Just to show you how dedicated I am, I have never paid for an interview ever in my life. And I wasn't about to pay for an interview with Flaming Star. Not a red cent. But this motherfucker was playing games. He told me that he was trying to raise money so his tribe could grow crops to get through. He needed seed money. And we're not talking about like an investment into a Silicon Valley company. No, he's talking about actual seed money to grow some corn and tomatoes and potatoes for his tribe. I agreed to do a donation. But I was very strict with him, and I said, I have never, ever paid for an interview in my life. The best I can give you is $50. And he goes, I accept that. So I had to send him $50, and then we did the interview. And right after we did the interview, probably about 6 hours after the interview, Flaming Star got arrested. He's in jail, people. He's in jail. You've all seen the mugshot. It's on the thumbnail. So are we ready? Are we ready? We have 2,300 people here right now. I'm telling you, this is going to be good. Ladies and gentlemen, you may have seen Boogie2988's house got vandalized, and there's been a big drama going on between his shaman, Flaming Star. We got Flaming Star on the line. First thing I want to know, who is Flaming Star? Where did you come from?
Yeah, well, they actually called me Chemo then. That was my cartel name. So
you were in the cartel?
15 years old, and I met John Perez and Franklin, okay, and they were in my detention class. I got kicked out of St. Thomas Aquinas High School, a college preparatory Catholic private school, for taking a gun and putting it to Trevor Bryant's head. Because
wow.
There was a big beef in my neighborhood. There's politics in poor people, man. Politics that people cannot understand, but the rappers talk about it, and they know exactly what I'm talking about when I say it right now. So,
have you ever been arrested?
Yeah, I think I told you, 22 felonies, something like that.
22 felonies
that was horrible.
Is insane.
The first time I saw real violence, what was Dwayne's last name?
The Rock Johnson, Fast and Furious with Flaming Star.
That's funny. That's funny. No. This is way before. I actually cleaned up my life and then I got famous. I can't remember the guy's name because he was from the hood across from us. But another guy had blown his brains out and his brains landed in my lap in the back seat. And that's when the first time after that is when, like, I knew needed the change. I'm wearing my friend's brains.
Didn't you get into like a fight with the actual cops, like a fist fight?
Oh, yeah. So I did the dumbest thing ever. So I'm on like day three or four of a binger of smoking crack. And like somebody walked off with a mirror or something. I get pissed off, jump in the car, I leave. I think I had six pieces of crack on me when I left. And a Broward sheriff's officer gets me. And I said, this, I'm in a Ford Thunderbird Super Coupe. We go on a chase till I run out of gas. I'm all through these neighborhoods, backyards, you name it. Finally run out of gas, jump out of the car. I jump a 12-foot security fence. They can't make a fence. I'm gone. And I finally am winded. I'm gassed out. The first was the canine comes. I axe kicked the canine and said, man, I really don't want to hurt your dog, but I will defend myself. Dog comes back again. He grabs my left upper thigh, but the canine's there now. This is the metal capped canine. Have you seen one of those?
Yeah.
His right incisor gets caught on the top of my left hip bone. Could you imagine the pain, what that's like?
Yeah, that's gonna hurt.
I picked the dog straight up in the air with my left arm, use him as a body because the officer to my right draws. And I'm like, uh-oh, this is gonna be it. I use the dog as a shield, roll down, come back up. The other officer completely misses me and I kick the dog away. I'm back running. They thought I ran around the house, but I did the old ghetto trick. I ran around the house twice.
Interesting.
Instead of like going left and the next fence, he just ran around the house again. And I ran back the way I came and it was gone. Mm-hmm. And I said, I just can't run no more, man.
So they got you.
I just laid down.
How long did you spend in prison for that?
So I went to Okeechobee Correctional, DC number 966222, man. Okeechobee Correctional in Florida. I went 3-year minimum mandatory sentence.
You did your time, right? You get out.
Yep.
What happens next?
15 years of NA. And I had a couple of heroes in my life. Adam Anderson and Charles Panoyan, Tim Yates, David Ruffin. Adam Anderson had a talk with me. And he's like, look, dude, you're such a cool dude. Like, you straightened your life out now. Always known you were solid, like, blah, blah, blah. And these guys didn't know I had a shady past. And they just took me in. They were surfer kids on Fort Lauderdale Beach. And that's when I picked up the surfboard, man. I start surfing. I'm hanging out with these guys.
Okay, so you started your surfing career.
No, not a career. We're just surfing. But what they do is they wind up getting one of these Xboxes. Halo 2 comes out. And now you have VoIP. That's unheard of. Because now I can talk to somebody in China.
Yep.
As long as they got an Xbox, right? Instantly, I put the headset down and I go, this is $1 million. They said, what are you talking about? I go, look at what I can do by talking. And they're like, oh my God, that's right.
What are you
they're
talking
like,
about?
You know everything about like tactics and martial arts and all this shit. Oh my God, you could totally know how to play this game. And that's when Halo 2 came out. So they put this controller in my hand, and I become a natural 50 Halo ring.
Damn.
They're like, what the fuck? They're like, what? And I'm like, oh, this so easy. I'm like, duh, duh. But that's when I met that TSX clan. Even though I'm running 7 mercs and 60 ninjas, now we had 400 people there, and then Game Battles came out. Do you remember Game Battles?
Yes.
All right, Game Battles comes out. Now we're about to get real, because what can we do now?
You can play for money.
A lot of people don't know that.
So you started playing a bunch of video games. You started owning nerds left and right, making money. How did that transpire into you turning into an esports god? Did you ever play for MLG or any of that?
Well, I got 400 members in 7 Mercs and 60 Ninjas. And I got this TSX clan of Chinese dudes that I play with that we do all the game battles with. And we're making money. Well, those Chinese dudes tell me about a PC game called StarCraft.
Mm.
And I'm like, what's that like? Well, that's a whole nother level. And I'm like, so? It can't be that hard? What? It's some buttons. Big deal. So they play at this hub thing, and they're like, hey, this is a white guy. Like, he can play this game. And I meet Maru, was his name. He was 14 when I met him. And we wound up having some chats. And I got turned on to Dota.
Wait, you met this guy at 14. You start having some chats and you're turned on?
No, he's 14 and I'm not turned on. Listen to you. Maru.
That's what you said.
Listen to you. It's Maru. Do you know what I'm talking about? Maru, the StarCraft god?
Yeah.
He's 14. Okay. I'm already dealing with game battles. I meet him online through one of those hub things. I was trying to remember what it was, this game hub things.
And did he start?
He tells me about how esports brands are put together, and then shows me this whole world on the internet where they film this. And I'm like, wait a minute, they like pay millions of dollars? Like, how to do this? Daniel Wansauer and Donna Wansauer says, you should take your landscape business and what you do as a chef and make it into a brand. And I'm like,
So wait, you at this time were mowing lawns.
Running a landscape business and a catering business.
And you turned the mowing lawn catering business into an esports brand.
Yes, sir.
That seems so silly.
Right? You gotta have something to do at night, right?
What was the name of the brand?
King of Blades.
King of Blades. All right. So King of Blades, you obviously named that because you're mowing lawns, right? And now you've turned it into an esports brand. You should have opened up a barber shop too. It would all work.
No. Life's a little bit different, you know, where I'm from, man. It was everybody's real laid back. You know, it's pretty calm. I had never heard kids scream at each other. I didn't know there was this whole nerd rage thing until I got into esports. They would say some of the most rottest shit to one another.
Did it give you flashbacks of when you were a kid working for the cartel?
You know, kind of like that, man, the violence that they would say. But and then they would hang up on each other, and then they'd not show up for these scrims or like, and we're talking $100,000 is on the line here, or like, you know, some of these prize pools in League of Legends was starting to get a little stupid. So did Descent of the Ancients. You know, there's a couple games out there. There was real money to be had.
So wait, right? What was your brand exactly? Was it an esport org or was it?
So I wound up coaching 2 League of Legends teams that went full pro. I don't talk about those teams. There was some money that was paid to me in cash that I just took, man. And I said, cool, I'll take that. Yeah. And then I coached a master chess player. And then I started coaching kids in those cards games because even though I'd never played Magic before, I'm really good at math. And I started to show them how to look at the value of the cards in their decks. And after like a year of that, that's how it came to be where it was Glenn Whitman, the guy who actually bought my video game brand when I quit, the guy that stole the cards from me. He said, hey, you know what? You should try Magic. Since you coach the guys anyways, it'll give you something to take your mind off of everything. Because I sold the brand in 2016 when 5 kids stole a prize pool from me at the esports arena. The problem is they're like, oh, he was abusive. I was like, we're on Skype. You know, we went from Ventrilo to Skype and then Discord came out, right?
Yeah.
We're on Skype and I'm like, abusive how? There's a red button. You're telling me I abused you into being a esports professional. You gotta be kidding me.
So what happens from 2016 till present day? Because you're done with esports.
I'm depressed, man. What do I want? I need some guidance. I sell my brand. This is the first time I met Glenn Whitman. I sell my brand to him, and I say, I'm just going to go take off for a while. And everybody's like, what? And I go, I'm gone, man. I know I disappear. See you. And I did. And I went on like this soul searching thing, man. I went on a fish tour, and I met some dudes, had a good mushroom trip. And I said, you know, you go from being what I was, nobody, and you make the main stage after drug addiction. You make the main stage after that again, make something out of myself. I mean, I had a couple of businesses, you know, I got a beautiful wife, right? What do I have to care about? But it just weighs on me that one little stupid article on the internet ruined my life. Because
what was the article? People don't,
you could type it in, Ryan Arthur DeLillo, the King of Blades. It'll literally pop up. It was an article by Gosu Gamers or something like that.
What did they say?
And there was an article by Red Bull too. So it says King of Blades owner is pressing charges against his former team. And then there's an explanation of my story and their story. And they just said that I was abusive. Well, everybody's like, oh, he's child abuse. And I'm like, child abuse? It's Skype. What are you really going to do to somebody Skype? They just got to hit the red button.
What were you saying to those kids? Like, what do they consider abuse? Like, what's the worst thing you said to those kids?
Probably told them off probably was the worst thing I probably ever said. Because
are you sure that was the worst thing? Like, did you like threaten violence with them?
No, come on, man. It's a Skype call. And listen, so first off, one kid's in like Canada, other kid's in like New York, other kid's in like Kentucky.
No, I get all
other
that.
Kids but in like
no, I get,
come on. Right?
No, I get all that. Here. But if they're saying that there was abuse, it had to have been something more than off.
No, what it was is one of them didn't pay their rent, and that's why they had took the money, because they wanted to cover his bills. And I said, after everything was in the wash, after I'd already talked to the FBI about the kids stealing the money, I was like, why didn't you just tell me you needed to pay your rent? I would have paid your rent. Instead, we got to have this drag out thing in the news, and we're going to go ruin my brand, and your guys' career's finished. You know nobody's ever going to hire you ever again after what you did in the media, right? How can I survive as long as I did? Go look at my tax records. Look at the last time I filed taxes. You'd be surprised, because what's there to file?
Well, you don't file taxes, right? Aren't you native?
Yes, sir. So I go on that soul searching mission.
Can we talk a little bit about that real quick? You know, where
would you like to start at?
Where does Native American, where does that come from? And like, you know, what do you do with the other natives?
Before I was a f*** up, when I was younger, I was an Eagle Scout, Plantation Troop 175.
Okay.
And they have a program in there called Order of the Arrow. And I wound up going out to the Seminole Indian Reservation in Florida and the Everglades. And I got to experience what that's like.
So what tribe are you from? What native tribe are you from?
So how we get to this point, so Holly Crawley comes to visit me. I was a local legend after what I did to myself. A couple of people had heard about what I did. I was kind of popular around here for just being a cool dude, as it was. I walk around with a mohawk most of the time. And Holly Crawley comes to me to ask me for an exorcism.
Okay.
And I go, an exorcism? What's going on here? I said, let me talk to your mom. Let me talk to your grandma. I don't want to reveal a lot of her information. The two demons that were in her wound up coming into me. And 3 days after the event, I go from perfect health to cancer from my neck to my balls.
Damn.
3 days.
You got the cancer demon.
How do you explain that?
It's a cancer demon.
3 days later, after I perform an exorcism, I'm throwing up coffee grinds in my toilet. They rush me to the hospital. They say, you got 30 minutes to live. My best friend's holding my hand, and I told him right before I pass out, I said, how else would I know what anybody else would be going through and have the compassion for them if I didn't experience this myself? And I was done. Gone. They're calling the whistle on me. Somehow, I pull through. They give me 5 blood transfusions, 4 bags of iron, and I pull through.
Congrats.
Does that, right? It takes about 2 months of a fight with them, with me trying to tell them that I don't want to be in the hospital. They kick me out, finally. Everybody thinks I'm nuts. I get home, and I start trying to whip up RSO. And I'm like, I need to make RSO right now. Save my life. But I'm having a hard time talking because the tumor's closed up my throat. I could only write at this point. I can't talk to anybody on the phone. I have to text everything. Finally get some of the RSO, and my friend Steve Farrell comes through, man. And he gives me, actually, no, it was Marcus Relia came through first. He came through and he gave me 32 grams in single syringes of RSO.
What's RSO? Here, man,
Rick Simpson oil. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So they take weed and they cook it down into like a paste and they call it Rick Simpson oil. It's black. It's the stickiest thing you ever seen. A pea-sized amount gets you so stoned you probably wouldn't wake up
so,
for a
so
day.
Basically, you're about to die and they give you wax, like weed wax.
Yeah. In 60 days, not only did I talk again, but they're wondering if I'd already beat the cancer. And I said, no, I said that I got to take the mushrooms next. And they said, what? I said, you don't know it, but I'm a Cherokee medicine man. They said, what? I said, you only have my legal name because I'm here. My name's Flaming Star, and I'm a federally licensed medicine man. And that changed the whole subject because Dr. Eric Schaefer gives me a scan, and we go from an innumerable amount of tumors to completely clear in 90 days after the mushrooms.
God.
And what the mushrooms were, I'm the only human to do that, number one. I beat stage 4 esophageal cancer, stage 4 psoas cancer, and I beat metastatic disease in 90 days. I hadn't been fully indoctrinated into the Spirit of Tooth Native at church yet. What happened was, is I had to get so sick, I had to get their care immediately, and they adopted me.
The Native Americans adopted you?
Yes.
Okay.
Because my given family couldn't take the fact when I said, remember I said I needed to get out of the hospital?
Yeah.
I didn't want any of the chemo or the fentanyl or the Dilaudid or the methadone they had me on. They had me on all that shit while I had passed out. My friend Rich Cryer had signed for all that.
Right.
I told them I don't want any of it.
You get better. You become a medicine man.
And, I become a federally licensed medicine man, yes.
Okay. What happens next?
Chris Fino walks into my life and he asked me for a exorcism. And I said, man, that didn't go well for me so far last time. He goes, man, you're doing great. Look at you, man. You're fine. I'm like, whatever. He talks me into it. I do it again. Bam. I'm in the hospital again. This time I have psoas cancer.
You have
stage
what?
Four. Stage 4 psoas cancer now. After
you,
being fully cleared.
You have cancer?
Psoas. P-S-O-A-S.
Okay. You pulled the demon out and he went right up your butt.
He showed me what time it was. Unfortunately, in that time is when Boogie298 contacts me. And I get the call from Boogie and I said, well, I'm still alive. You better get it done now before I die. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I got stage 4 cancer again and I have C. diff.
So wait, Boogie calls you the first time you meet him looking for a medicine man, right?
Why do I look like such video? You should see what I look like normally. Okay.
So this is the first time now the internet gets, we're brought up to current day. The internet gets to see Flaming Star for the first time. He's in the Mike Klum documentary. He's giving Boogie healing. He's giving him mushrooms. You are the Flaming Star shaman.
Shaman is actually an ethically cleansed word. Traveling medicine man.
Traveling medicine man.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
But don't you have beef with Mike Klum and that whole documentary? What's the issue there?
Yeah, because like in a time like that, somebody can be very vulnerable. And why there's no other footage like that out there is because look what these guys did. They took something that's a sacred ceremony where we're there to help somebody and they make a joke out of it. By just the way I talked or because I didn't look right. I'd like to see you, not you, Keemster, talking to the audience. I'd like to see you get up while you're terminally ill and you're dying from C. diff, drive an hour in your truck to ceremonial grounds where Indians used to be in the middle of nowhere, and then take that man on a 6-7 hour trip, guide him the whole time, then pack everything up and drive home and not ask for a dollar. That cameraman stole $622 from me. I don't know how I did that. And he applied for a home loan through Navy Federal Credit in my name.
Okay. This was in the first interview that the audio messed up. Okay. So that's how I have previous knowledge of this. But you told me that Michael Klum, the guy that did the documentary on Boogie, his cameraman hacked into your bank account and robbed you blind.
Yeah, we still haven't figured that out yet.
That seems like so hard to believe that something like that would happen.
I'm baffled by it because so he came and he stayed with me 9 days.
Are you sure?
He had a I gave him an MDA trip, and I gave him a mushroom trip.
Mm-hmm.
And either he got in my wallet at some time, but there was this one time where I wound up getting carted to the hospital. I had a back spasm that we wound up having to call the ambulance. They thought I was going to die. And Mike actually, he filmed it. Michael Silvius is his name? Michael Silvius?
Okay.
I have the documents. Like you said, I wish I had that dang camera. You could have videoed that. I could have showed you these documents.
So you had a back spasm. You went to the hospital. And during this time,
I think that's probably when he probably could have, that's the only time he could have ever been exposed to my private information now, because he was toting all my shit.
Can I put out a theory? Okay.
Go ahead.
You did an exorcism, right? And when you did that, the demons went inside of you, gave you stage 4 cancer. Then you did another exorcism. The demons came right back. You said that you had a back spasm. Is it possible that with all the stuff you've been doing, you know, the medicine man stuff, that the demon was in fact leaving your body with that back spasm, went into Michael Klum's cameraman. Now the demon's in the cameraman, and now he's hacking you and trying to take money out of your bank accounts because you defeated him and did an exorcism on yourself.
There might be credit to your story because I wasn't there, but Boogie would tell you the answer to that. They said that Mike freaked out in the house and started eating Boogie.
Eating Boogie?
Yeah, like teeth on him, biting him,
Mike
trying
who?
To eat him.
The cameraman or Mike Klum?
Yeah, no, the cameraman, Michael, eating Boogie, tried to eat him.
Okay.
Boogie will tell you that. Boogie will tell you that.
This is getting insane.
No, wait. And I think he like took his clothes off and ran around the house and broke something too.
Do you find...
Let
me ask you a question. Do you take any responsibility for giving Mike the cameraman drugs or medicine, whatever label you want to put it on?
Wasn't there.
And then he starts acting crazy. Do you take any responsibility for that?
No. So he was diagnosed with BPD before I met him.
What the f*** is that?
Borderline personality disorder.
Oh, okay. The reason why I'm on the phone with Flaming Star and the reason why I'm even conducting this interview right now is so our audience can better understand why Boogie's house got vandalized with pedo written on his garage door, thief, spray paint on the car, windows being broken. Let's go right into this magic card deal that you did with Boogie. What happened?
Okay, so it's January 1st, New Year's Day, right? I go over to his house. We're set up for a 14-day ceremony because Boogie's got so much weight now. He's got the walker. He can't walk. Imagine that, right? He's immobilized because he's a fat bastard. And he calls me up and he says, all right, so I heard that you invented some stuff that will change the body. And I go, man found standing did that. Yes. How can I help you? And he decides that we're going to do a 14-day stint and he's going to listen to what I have to say. And then, of course, that video pops up you saw where he says he quit bad food. I get to his house and on this first day, he says, I hear that you're a financial guru. And I go, I know how money works. What do you need? I go, well, you need to have a little money to make some money. Like, you know, give me a number to work with. And then he does. And I show him how to invest using CDs, some treasury I-bills. I teach him a little bit about mutual funds. And then I showed him about Webull. And I show him Tesla stocks. I show him QQQ. I show him some other things, right? And he's like, holy shit, I'm in. And I go, well, you got to have some money. And he goes, well, can you help me get there? And I'm like, help you how? And he goes, look right behind you. And behind me, these three giant trunks of magic cards. And I'm like, okay, what do you want to do? And he says, well, can I sell them? Will you buy them for $100,000 so that I can do this maneuverability with this investment plan so I can get out of Hawk and save my house? And I said, I said, the only way we're going to do that is I would have to get Glenn Whitman. I said, he owns the five gear gaming stores that the cards are at.
And that guy knows the value of this stuff. So he was, you know.
Yeah, he's been a dealer for like 16 years.
He was brought in to
do
the appraisal on the cards to see what they're worth and whatnot. Okay.
Yeah, and he's a mutual friend because he bought my video game brand when I sold out.
Right.
So I trust this guy, obviously, with $100,000 worth of shit. You know, come on, you just don't do that with a stranger. And then we wound up getting horrible weather. And then it was a holiday because I wanted to go by the bank first and get everything verified. we had to wait till after Martin Luther King Day, and it was another snow day. It was horrible out. And I go, this is actually the perfect time because there won't be anybody out. Nobody's going to know I got those cards in the back of the truck. It's a $100,000 investment here. I'm going to treat it right. I got to have respect for it. I don't want to ruin the cards. Me and another friend, we load everything up real carefully, tie it all down in my truck. I go to Arvest Bank. I go to my relationship banker, Ivan. I said, hey, man, look at all these cards. Check it out. He goes, holy shit, dude. He goes, man, this is worth a lot of money. I go, well, I'm supposed to pay, $100 for it. So I pack everything up. I go to the Rogers Police Department. I show them all the stuff. A lieutenant for the police department comes out. I'm like, this would be great. I'll get these guys and we'll get the SWAT team out. We'll make like a little video, okay? And we'll be like transporting the cards. It'll be great. Because they said, well, what do you want for the donation? I said, give me 30 seconds of us moving the trunks around. This would be a great video for him, right? Because Bui needs a comeback, right? I'm with you too, by the way, Keemstar. He needs a comeback, but this shit here, he's going to pay for it. Show the cops the stuff. They're like, cool. They take a small inventory of the goods. Pack everything back up. I want to meet Glenn at a good spot because before I hand it off, I need a letter of exchange, a transfer of ownership, number one. I want a letter for transfer of ownership, and I want an inventory of what's in there. So I'm like, let's go to Mojitos because my friend Dion Moten owns it. We'll go to Mojitos. We can spend 5-6 hours there, go over all this shit. We'll take care of it. But I said, let's do a little video on TikTok first. I'm inside, and a couple comes in, and they want to buy some booze. I tell the lady, the cashier, I said, hey, let me buy your stuff. I'll buy their stuff, whatever it is. So I walk, and I hide on the other side over there, and I go up there. They go up their stuff, and then I go up there, and I go here, and I run up, and I go pay for it. And then I write on the receipt. I said, here's a little note for you. I write, hey, you should maybe think about quitting drinking. And then I go out to my truck, get in my truck. I'm like, all right, we're going to go to Mojitos. Glenn's nowhere to be found, and the cards are not in the back of my truck. I text him, dude, you know I have you on camera, and there's going to be like 5 people in the store. They're going to say that I was distracted when you took those cards out of the back of my truck. And I call the Springdale police.
Okay, what did the police say? Because you were robbed, right? It's on camera,
case
right?
Case number, it's grand larceny.
Okay.
Because of the value. Yep. So they issue case number 24-3109. Investigation's still going.
And
take that. You can go look that up.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is
police report.
But what I'm saying is they didn't press charges on Boogie or Glenn.
So they said it's a civil matter. They didn't put criminal charges because we all wrote contracts with each other. So the case is still there. The charges did not get dropped. What it was is they just said it's a civil matter. We're all going to court.
Mm.
And I have the Rojas attorney group. When we wrote the contract for the cards that I signed in blood.
So why?
That's my left and my right thumbprint on there.
Wait, you did a contract with Boogie in blood?
Yes.
In actual blood?
I'm an Indian. Yes. It's a blood sworn oath.
If you're not out 100K,
no.
Why are you so bent out of shape?
He owes me 10 grand.
Why does he owe you 10 grand?
It was 10 grand or 10% of his perpetuity for life for me to come over there and fix him, which I did.
Is he fixed?
Well, he was. He was, and then he decided to go ape again.
So wait,
like he normally
you're
does.
A medicine man that heals people, and you were going to heal Boogie, but he had to give you like 10% of all his revenue forever?
No, here's what it was. Is I never asked for money. I usually don't. In Boogie's case, after I found out what they did to me, I said, you can give me 10% or 10 grand. Until you either pay off the 10 grand, you can just give me 10% of your tax return until you pay me off the 10 grand or the end of your life. He's got carcinoma, dude. If he doesn't do something about it, he will expire. So have you seen somebody when they have a manic episode?
Yeah.
He was about to have an ego death because that morning, 5 hours prior, I tripped Desi.
His girlfriend?
Yeah. I took away the abuse from her father.
Nice.
And then I sent her back to her home planet. And what happened was on the first day, they wanted to try me as a circus act. And I said, I'll let you have fun one time. What do you want me to do? He said, it's impossible for you to know anything about her. Tell me about her. I said, okay. I cup her left ear. I lay the other way. I put my ear up to her other opposite ear. And I cup her ear. And I say, just breathe. And then within 10 seconds, I tell her where she's from and what her star chart is. In 10 seconds. Not some minute. Not some humming thing. I told her exactly where she's from. He about falls out of the chair and says, he could have never known that. And he nailed it right on the head. Birth date, her sign, all of that. How did I do that?
Google, because her birth date's everywhere. Because people want to know Boogie's girlfriend's age.
I'm not that. I don't even know anything about the girl. And I told her right where she's from, and then I sent her back there.
What was her trauma?
I don't discuss that ever. Okay, but, nobody's trauma. I don't ever discuss
but
that.
She was abused by her dad or something, her father.
We can pick another question.
Okay. Well, that's what you said. So I'm just going off of what you said.
I took away the abuse from her father.
Nice. You're claiming that you didn't mess with the dog, but you did heal the girlfriend. If you
well, let's say I did. Let's say I did, though.
Okay.
All right. So what then?
Well, it wouldn't be the first time that you roughed up an animal.
We're all animals, right?
Didn't you karate kick the canine?
Yeah, I did.
Well, Boogie said to us, he goes, look, I was in the process of doing this magic deal with the shaman, and I pulled mm-hmm. out because he handled my dog in a way that I didn't like.
How does that void a $100,000 contract?
I mean, if no money's exchanged, the deal isn't even done yet, is it?
Well, technically, now I don't really care about the cards. I want my 10 grand. But technically, ownership, there's no buyer's remorse because he gave me $400 in a donation to show up at his house because I don't leave my couch until you initiate something. Why do I need to leave my couch?
Let's finish this up. Let's get to the bells and whistles of this flaming star. Okay. Boogie 2988's house got vandalized. Why did you vandalize this man's house?
Unfortunately, I spent some money that was allocated for our seed money this year for our crops. And I allocated it to the supplements that we were going to use to heal Boogie and put him back together. My tribe, we've disconnected from society. We fend for ourselves. We don't really care about money. It doesn't really do anything for us.
Just so everyone knows, I had to pay $50 to the Seed Foundation to do this interview.
Yeah, it's true. He did. Thank you very much for your donation. I really appreciate that, man. We need it.
So what happened? You went over there. What happened?
So I left the Fayetteville Police Department after talking to them and said, okay, you asked for it. Then left. Packed my stuff up, drove right to his house, which is right down the street from it. And I went and grabbed the water main lid thing for the meter, to read the meter. Threw it through the window where he streams out of, hoping he was in there. Called him a pussy. Said, come outside. He wasn't there. But I had backed my truck all the way up to his front door because I didn't want to have to walk so far. And then when I left, I peeled out from the front door all the way out to the street and I left.
Okay, so you went to his house, right? You drove right on his lawn. You backed up, right?
Yeah, back to his front door.
You grabbed the water meter?
Yep.
You grabbed the water meter, chucked it through his window, said, yep. Boogie, get your fat out here. You owe me and my tribe some seed money, right?
Yep.
He doesn't answer, and then you get in your truck and peel off?
Yep.
Who did the spray paint then?
That I wish I knew because here's the thing, though. But you guys don't know, I was in a car accident that evening, actually, in Rogers. My truck was at BJ's at the corner of New Hope and 71.
Okay.
I was in a car accident, and the bumper was stuck in my tire of my truck. Truck's immovable. Rogers police show up, everything. We got the accident, the guy in front of me, the guy behind me. Cops show up. We got police reports. We got accident reports, right? I have to walk home because I can't drive my truck, but I'm 2.5 blocks from my house. How did I get?
Wait, do you have a house? I thought you slept in a tent.
It's a church.
Okay.
Well, I have a tent. I have a yurt.
Yeah, you live in a tent, right?
Yurt.
Okay.
Yurt. You know what a yurt is?
Yeah. I know what that is. Okay. It's a big tent. Yurt.
It's like an hour and 20 minutes to get to Steven's house from the church.
Okay, so you're saying that you couldn't have done the spray paint because you were in a car accident.
Yeah, it's impossible because my truck was stuck at the BJ's there until the next morning when we finally got the wrecker.
Didn't the spray paint happen the same exact day that you broke his window?
No, because I didn't do that. I did the window and peeled out in this driveway and did the other shit. I didn't do no spray paint.
And the spray paint happened the same day as the broken window, though.
No, I think somebody... Well, Steven's not really well-liked here. I don't know if you know that or not. He's not well-liked here locally. I think somebody was just opportunistic to do that.
But okay, listen. The thing, yes, it could be a neighbor that doesn't like him or whatever, knows about him online, has the young girlfriend, all that. I get that. But it literally says thief.
Well, there's a lot of drama on my page for the past... This is 2 months old. You know that, right?
I know, but who else in the area would think that to spray paint thief? Why? Who out there thinks that he's the thief other than you?
Well, he used to pick on Daniel Wansauer, and that's my little brother. I think it's probably him.
But I don't get it. You admitted to throwing the water meter through the window. You admitted to
calling him a pussy. Yeah.
You admitted to like
peeling out in his yard.
Peeling out in his yard. Why won't you own the spray paint? That had to be you. It's not me. It had to have been you. It had to have.
I don't have to make it up, man. It can't be in two places at once.
But it happened the same day. So you tell the cops, you're like, look, did you tell the cops that you broke the window though?
Oh, they knew about that before. That was 10:30 in the morning.
I guess my final question is what do you think's going to happen between you and Boogie in the future? How do you see this all playing out? Because now Boogie, you know, he's obviously said online that he's going to call the cops and do this. And obviously, you know, because you got a call from the cops and you're planning on suing him. How do you see this all playing out in the future?
I can't predict the future. I wish I could.
I mean, the shaman has a lot of powers.
That's an ethically cleansed word. That answer I do not have.
You don't?
I have a public service announcement, though.
Go ahead.
Anybody, if you're ever in a situation that you think that there's no hope, I want you to know that there is hope. And that hope is inside of you. If you ever need my help, please reach out. May the positive vibrations of the universe forever be in your favor.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. From the one, the only medicine man known as Flaming Star, who was a part of the cartel, beat up four police officers, a canine, was a drug dealer at one point, an esports legend, a medicine man, a healer, an exorcist, and a number one hater right now of Boogie2988. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Any last thing you want to say?
Oh, man, we should hang out sometime.
It sounds like a fun time. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That was the interview with Flaming Star. All right, let's get the boys on the line. We need to talk to Buggy.
What a interview, huh?
What is going on? Why is Flaming Star in here? We're literally calling Flaming Star on Discord. That would be interesting if he picked up.
I don't
up.
Think he's going to pick up.
No.
You better hope not.
I was going to put out his username is Batman. Mister, I'm not connected to society.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he's gone now. So what did you guys think of this interview?
I can see why Boogie chose this guy to help him out. He seems perfect for the job.
But Boogie, like, how do you trust people this easily, dude? Like, I'm gonna show you something here. Like, this is something. This is Flaming Star's truck, right? It is like a '97 F-150. It's probably older than Boogie's girlfriend. And Boogie, for some reason, thought this man had $100,000 to give him for magic cards. This man that drives a 97 F-150, and I know you're going to say what you're going to say. You're going to say, like, rich people live a meek life. They drive meek cars.
Yeah.
No, the they don't drive a 97 F-150. Good Lord. And I'm so sick of this Native American kid. We're going to start calling him Chief Red Rooster because Diolito is a Italian name. It's not a Native American name. He's not Cherokee. I don't even think he's ever Cherokee woman. That's the closest
I really I've met a guy. He's called Chiefs Runs with Spaghetti. All right.
But to answer your question, I had somebody, a friend who owns Gear Gaming, Glenn Whitman. Him and I have been friends for a really long time. We've done business together. He's borrowed money from me, paid me back with interest. He's given me match cards. We've had lots of dinners. You know, I've shopped at the stores for like 10 years now. He told me, like, Ryan's not a bad guy. You know, you got to be careful with him, but Ryan's not a bad guy. Ryan had been contacting me for years. Let me help you. Let me heal you. Let me help you. Let me heal you. Let me help you. Let me heal you. And I thought, here's an opportunity to put him on camera. And who knows, maybe something good will happen. And I do still believe to this day that the experience I had with the documentary was a good one, right?
You were high. It was a drug. I can take you to Chiefs Runs with cocaine. You'd feel great.
But
that's what happened.
Fast forward to, you know, December, and he's hitting me hard all the time. He's like messaging me, Boogie, let me help. Boogie, let me help. Boogie, let me help. And I talked to Glenn, and Glenn's like, yeah, he's in a pretty desperate way right now. He needs help. And I'm like, I'm not in a position where I can help anybody. He's like, yeah, I bet you could in his situation, because he's broke as a joke, about to lose his house, about to lose everything. And I saw an opportunity to, I don't know, have some fun,
hang out with the guy. Hold the fuck up.
Yeah.
This was before you made the blood deal for the magic cards. Like, why would you make the blood deal with the magic cards if this guy is telling you he's broke as a joke?
Because Glenn is involved, and I trusted Glenn to get my cards back, which he did. And well,
why don't you give him the cards to begin with?
I without incriminating myself, when the cards left my house, I was not in my correct state of mind, without incriminating myself. I certainly wouldn't have let my play button walk out the front door.
So that he got you high and he stole your cards.
I will neither confirm nor deny that that's what happened.
The medicine man who's supposed to be healing you gets you up on drugs and then convinces you in a very manipulative state where he's supposed to be helping you and guiding you through this journey of healing. Let me have the magic cards.
Up until this moment, I did not want to completely make a fool out of this con man, but I'm glad to do it now, obviously, and I've been excited for the opportunity to do it.
Why did you want to protect the con man prior, though?
Because I slapped me once, turned the other cheek, just move on. Who cares, right? I made a stupid mistake. Something bad happened to me. Who gives a shit? Let it go. It's only when he took it online that I decided to take it online. It's only after he threw something to my front porch, I decided to press charges. I'm not the kind of guy who escalates. I'm the kind of guy who de-escalates. I'm the kind of guy who tries to get away from crazy people once they show me how crazy they are.
Getting scammed.
The guy who shot at Frank Hassel. Come on now. This is Rich.
Getting scammed is not de-escalation. I'm just helping you out.
Well, in just the last two weeks, I've gone through about $25,000 worth of stuff. You're looking at $2,000 right here that I cataloged why we're sitting here. Now, will I get that much for it? No, I'll probably get $75,000 if I sell to my local gaming store.
No, Boogie, you're a idiot. You are so goddamn dumb.
I know I'm a fucking idiot. I should have never let this motherfucker near my house, my family, my dogs.
The biggest mark ever. You're a mark.
Tell me something I don't No, I worked for you. I must be one dumb mother.
Well, Keem, let's.
He also claimed to have cured me of fatness. Ta-da!
And see, that's when you should have known when he was full of shit.
Well, that was in the Lunar Sparks interview.
Okay. So after the interview, I hit up Michael Klum and I go, hey, I just interviewed the shaman. And the shaman told me your cameraman went and like stole money out of his bank account. And Michael Klum sends me a message and he goes, yeah, that might be true.
Yeah, that might be true.
Let's get into this. What happened with Michael Klum's cameraman?
So that man is by the name of, let's call him Mitch. But Mitch worked for Michael Klum for a period of time.
Probably his real name.
And he definitely has borderline personality. And when he was good, he did a really good job for Mike, helped build his business to some degree. But the problem was he was never very stable. So him and Mike parted ways. But he saw an opportunity to put a little money in Mitch's pocket because Mitch was homeless at the time. And he's like, Mitch, I got this project. I don't want to bring any of my like real cameramen. They've got to run the business. Would you like to come to me to Boogie's house? And he's like, absolutely. The very second day, Mitch is like, dude, I need help. I'm homeless. I know you need help. Let me help you. Give me a place to stay. And of course, once again, stupid Boogie does.
What the f***? Wait. Hold the f***. Okay. This f***ing shaman comes to you. I'm going to heal you, cure your fatness.
No, this is completely separate.
No. Listen. Yeah. I know. Yeah. But within the same time frame, now a second person.
About a year's.
Homeless comes to you and you let him live in your home?
I was homeless once. Somebody gave me their room to sleep in, so I did the same thing. Do you want to know if I'm gullible? Yes. Do you want to know if I'm stupid? Yes. Do you want to know if I'm easily taken advantage of? Yes. Have women taken advantage of me? Have people taken advantage of me? Have people like Mitch and Ryan taken advantage of me? Yes.
Listen to me. All right. Okay. You are the man of your household. You got to protect your dogs. You got to protect your girlfriend. You got to protect everything in that home. And you're letting homeless motherfuckers.
No girlfriend at the time in my room. I had one roommate, and that roommate signed off.
There was no girlfriend at the time?
No, of course not.
Then why is the girl in the documentary?
Because there's a 6-month period. Can you not tell time? Okay, a 6-month period from when we started filming.
All I'm saying is you got to be the man of the house and like protect your house and protect your people.
Yes, but someone when I was homeless gave me a place to stay, and I wanted to return the favor. And Mike said Mitch was harmless, so I let him stay.
Hold up, doesn't Ryan sleep in a tent like a yurt?
No, Ryan's got a place in Rogers. Ryan's got a house. He's about to be evicted on the 21st. But up until the 21st, he had a place to stay. And now that he's in jail, I suspect he's going to lose it regardless. Well, it was Mitch that supposedly tried to eat me, but no, he was just in a primal state. He put his mouth on my shoulder briefly. He wasn't trying to consume me, eat me, swallow me, or anything stupid like that. He did jerk off a lot. That is a thing that was happening. He did have his pants around his ankle, and he was playing with his wiener constantly when he was in this supposed primal state.
Was he like just standing in the kitchen beating his...
Yes, walking all around the house with this thing.
I would have to ask him to leave at that point. I'm like, well, you gotta do this shit behind closed doors.
What's he gonna do? Walk up down the street with his pants off? Like, you gotta wait till the guy's
my problem.
Yeah. So he ends up going to stay with Ryan, and I don't know what the happened between him and Ryan. I've never gotten the details, but apparently he ripped off Ryan. And the last time I saw Mitch, he wanted to apologize. He had a gift for me. And he's like, you know, Ryan and I really had a bad falling out. I'm like, well, tell me the details. He's like, you know, I'm not going to do that. But what I will tell you is I think I got pretty even. And I think it's going to be okay. And I'm like, all right, man. Well, goodbye forever. I don't plan to ever talk to you again.
You let a homeless man come and stay in your home. Who was biting you?
I threw him out after that. Obviously, once I saw his, you can't stay here anymore, dude.
What the is your life, bro? I'm like, first, let me just, before we segue to the Flaming Star and what happened and everything, let me just say that, Boogie, I've seen you a million times in your YouTube channel saying, fat shaming me and bullying me doesn't help. It only makes it worse. I disagree. You need way more bullying. You need way more people picking on you.
If bullying worked, I'd weigh half an ounce, motherfucker. What are you need talking more about?
Bullying. The problem is like you have.
If bullying worked, I'd be a rich millionaire skinny god by now.
You need way more bullying.
Motherfuckers on the planet.
One in the
Are you chat, out of your mind?
One in the chat if you think he needs more bullying. Because honestly, if everybody, nobody supported you and everyone was like, you fat retard, stop letting homeless people come into your house. If people actually bullied the shit out of you, I think you'd change for the better.
Look, I've helped a lot of people over the years. And this is two examples of it with Mitch and Ryan. And yes, sometimes you get burnt when you choose to help people. But I've helped a ton of people. One of the people I helped is in the other room right now. He's my lifelong friend of 30 years. If I wasn't willing to help people, I wouldn't have met my lifelong friend of fucking years, okay? That's the price you pay. Ryan is the price you pay to be a good person.
I'm sorry if I sound like Jordan Peterson, but like you need to clean your room. Like you need to clean it. Like you need to like make your bed and like you need some structure in your life. You're so... No, you don't. No, not you don't have any. Sir, you need to just
I play Pokemon Go every night for an hour and a half with my girlfriend.
You need to be stopped. You need to stop being such a pathetic, lazy, right? And you need to have some structure. Because if you were actually like cleaning your house and like moving around and like had a little bit of self-respect about you and your property, you wouldn't let homeless motherfuckers come in. You don't respect your home.
No, even if this house was
you.
I want you to listen to me.
No,
I'm going to do it again. I'm going to help more people, and you're not going to talk me out of it.
No, that's
continue
cope.
To help people when that's they need it. I'm going to keep doing it.
That's cope. That's
why
cope.
I'm going to keep helping people because it makes cope. Me a happy person.
That is the cope. That's the reality. Helping people is to cover the fact that you're a loser. I'm doing good so you can make yourself feel good. Make yourself feel good by having self-respect and like doing good shit.
I'm never going to have self-respect, so I may as well help others.
You got no self-respect. You got no self-respect because you're not doing anything to be proud of yourself.
What you. Okay, listen. What good does it do to make two wrongs don't make a right? He knocked over my TV. Okay, who gives a It's a TV. I can replace it. Well, how much damage can you do to somebody when you send them in a drugged out stupor in February weather in the middle of Arkansas naked?
He's an adult.
What are you talking about? I waited till 8 a.m. and I kicked him out at 8 a.m. when he was sober.
I have a guest coming over tomorrow, right? So I went and power washed the garage and power washed the thing right before this show, right? And like, after I got done cleaning up and power washing the deck and all that to make sure my house looks good, I was like, yeah, I'm the man. That made me feel good. You make yourself feeling good by
I would not make homeless, me feel good at all.
You make
I could power wash the entire planet. I wouldn't give a shit.
You make yourself feel good by, like, I'm helping people and letting homeless people jack off in your
apparently,
living room.
And apparently the way you would, it's like, I power wash floors. I'm such a big man. Yes,
you
power
wash floors. You don't take care of your castle. You don't take care of yourself. You don't take care of yourself.
I'm out here saving lives.
You don't take care of your home.
Lives.
You don't take care of everything.
I'm changing lives. I'm helping people. Oh, but me power wash. Me big strong.
But you're just manipulating yourself into I'm a good guy and I'm doing good things.
No, I'm not a good guy, but I occasionally do a good thing.
I got a real question for you, Boogie. Like, do you not want to like do like the house stuff because of like pain in your body or maybe your size and like, yo, you associate moving with pain?
Yeah, like I'm in an incredible amount of pain even just sitting here right now. I'm on a shitload of painkillers.
Keemstar's not asking to like go fix the hole in your roof where you fell through. He's asking you to like make your bed when you get up or something like that. Something to make you feel proud.
He's done. There's plenty of things I do every day like that. Of course, there's plenty of things I do like that every day. No, me no power wash. Me no power wash.
I know it seems silly, but I'm trying to give you an example of for you to have self-respect for yourself and your home.
I mean, your point is good, but your examples are... stupid. One of the ways that I have self-respect.
Chad agrees with
me. One of the ways that I find self-respect is in helping others, because I was once in tremendous need and it feels me good. It made me feel good that somebody helped me. And I know I can return that favor, so I do it. I was once homeless. I'll give a person a place to stay. I once didn't have food, so I had to steal food and I stole more than I needed. And so I'll feed a motherfucker. And that's my version of power washing. And if that's a problem for you, get the
I think you're not equipped to help people.
Boogie, if you busted your ass and cleaned your living room, just your living room, right? For Michael Klum and his cameraman to come over, not ask your roommate to do it, not ask your girlfriend. If you cleaned your living room up spotless for these guests before they come over, you were not going to let the homeless man live with you.
Then I wouldn't give a shit.
You were not let the homeless man live with you.
I don't value the things you value.
You let the homeless man live with you because you don't.
How much do you value this card for? How much do you value this card for?
I value crazy people not being my apartment.
Zero? Yeah, because you don't value the same thing I do. I like this card. It's a cool card. It's a sliver. Slivers are cool. We value things differently.
Okay, so let's get into it. Flaming Star's story is he was at a restaurant with Glenn, apparently. So for some reason, he's recording in the restaurant, and then he goes up to the waitress and tells her she needs to stop drinking. Or something. And during this, Glenn runs up to his truck and takes the magic cards back. What really happened?
So what really happened was Glenn came here on the third day after we decided that we had to terminate everything because, again, Ryan hurt my dog. And I know he laughs it off. I know
his name is Flaming Star. Stop calling him Ryan, please.
All right, Star-Lord.
Let's call him Tossing Dogs.
Flaming Star. Grabbed in the first day that Flaming Star was here, he did this thing that I'd seen him do with his own dog, which is pick his dog up and stare in its face, right? And he had done that with his dog in my presence. But you know what? I have an opinion. It's your dog. I can't intervene, right? So whatever. On the first day he was here, he decided to do that to Leo because Leo was trying to fuck his dog. And he picked Leo up by the scruff of his neck and stared at him and then put him in the playpen. And you know what? I let it slide because, in all fairness, Leo was trying to fuck his female dog. So, okay, that's fine. But on this third day, he grabs Sammy up by the neck. And Sammy's got arthritis in his back and his legs. And he's in a lot of pain and he takes pain pills every day now. I lost my f***ing shit. I'm like, you motherfucker, keep your f***ing hands off my loved ones. I can't f***ing believe you did
this. Were you on drugs at this point?
No, of course not. The dude had been in the house for less than 5 minutes. This is day three. And he was also asked not to come that day. At the end of the second day, I was so sick of his bullshit. I'm like, please don't come back tomorrow. And he showed up anyway. As I'm telling him, like, look, we're done. I don't want to do this anymore. You're not trustworthy. You're a fucking snake oil salesman. I can't believe you touched my dog, all this other bullshit. He's like, well, then you have forfeited your Magic the Gathering cards. And I'm like, the f*** I have, son. So I grabbed my phone and I dialed Glenn Whitman. And Glenn has known Ryan for a long time and has seen him have bad episodes like this. And Glenn packs up his sh- and drives over.
And that's a question that's completely separate. Like, why did Glenn want that shit from company King of Blades Alpha? Like, what benefited him for that?
Well, Keemstar is going to hate this. But Glenn is also somebody who likes to help people.
That seems like charity. Because a fucking washed up StarCraft clan ain't worth shit.
I mean, Glenn was going to start an esports team and already had one going. But he bought Ryan's worthless brand at that point. Just to do it.
For how much?
So you wanted to give money
away? Much?
I don't know. I'm not privy to that information. It was probably a very small amount, though.
Okay,
probably,
so you called Glenn and said, look, this deal is done with Flaming Star. How does Glenn get his hands on the magic cards?
So Glenn comes over and he tries to talk sense into Ryan. And so Flaming Star the whole time is like, I'm just so upset about these deals going south. He's supposed to be my retirement plan. I fixed that fat. I cured his fatness, and this is how he's going to pay me back? And Glenn's like, look, this is a lot of cards. You don't want to be on the hook for this. And it took hours. But eventually, Flaming Star left my house. Me and Glenn went to dinner, and me and Glenn sat down for a while, and he's like, Ryan will see reason. Flaming Star will see reason. Flaming Star will see reason. So the next day, Glenn's like, hey, good news. Flaming Star saw reason. I'm meeting him to get your cards back. And I'm like, awesome. I doubt he'll hand them over, but I hope that he does. He will. Obviously, he's already said he's going to.
Is the reason that he's seen reason because, like, there's actually a curator's fee for, like, basically pricing out all these cards? You said there was three bulk bins, so there's probably thousands of cards in these three bulk bins.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And like, it would take hours for somebody to sit down and catalog every card in this. Yeah, how much does Glenn charge for such?
Glenn said
like
the bare bottom for the amount of cards that I had would be at least 300. It was probably closer to 1,000. Glenn apparently meets him. It's my understanding they did eat at Mojitos that day, but I guess Ryan in the interview said they only met at McDoodles or whatever. Flaming Star literally loaded the cards into Glenn's car. Okay. And apparently that's on camera too, because it was in the parking lot. And it was only until later that night or the next day that Flaming Star is like, hey, where's those cards? Boogie says he has them.
And can I call a little bullshit on your story? Because you've told me in private that you asked Glenn to get your cards back for you, and that's as far as it went.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That is as far as it went. What are you confused about?
I was, when you said, the way you worded it sounded like Glenn was going to take the cards back when he got access to them to curate them.
No. That's Flaming Star's version. So Glenn says he has texts that confirm that Ryan knew what the plan was, right? So I end up like texting Flaming Star and saying, hey man, you know, I'm glad you saw reason. Thanks for getting the cards back. If you still want to buy them, come up with the money first. And we'll see if we can work something out. But I'm going to need a check in hand, probably cash. And once it's cleared, we'll work something out.
Flaming Star gets convinced by Glenn to give up the cards and gives them back to Glenn.
Yep.
What happens that sets Flaming Star ablaze where he's posting on Facebook that he's going to have a holy war with the police? Like, why did he go to the police then?
Okay, so the first thing Flaming Star invents is that Glenn stole the cards out of the back of the car, which is obviously not a thing that happened. But at first, Flaming Star is all about going to war with Glenn, going to glory with Glenn, and constantly messaging him, threatening him. We get to a point where it starts to boil over, and he goes to the Springdale Police Department. And he's like, hey, look, I cured this man of fatness. Why won't he give me my magic cards that rightfully belong to him? And here's the conversation I had with a detective in Springdale. He said, Mr. Williams, do you have possession of your collectibles? And I said, yes. And he goes, all right. Then we consider them to be in their rightful place. This is now a civil matter. If you have any problems with harassment moving forward, let us know. This continued to upset Flaming Star. As I said, I've heard through the grapevine that he was close to eviction. I heard that the money was entirely running out. I heard that he was just in a bad place. Most of the people that have known him, he's tried to grift at one point. Regardless of that, his family has given up on him. They've all separated themselves. There is no Cherokee Nation, as far as any of us know. There's no one bailing him out. There's no one helping him. And he's
saying 1,700 people aren't going to starve because you took $40 of mushrooms in a Forrest?
So on Wednesday of last week, he scheduled an appointment with the Fayetteville Attorney's Office, posted this publicly on his Facebook, went there, and it's my understanding, having spoken to Glenn, who spoke with an officer, that he went in there and did the exact same thing. I'm a magic medicine man. I cured this man of fatness. I sent a little girl to fucking Orion. Now they owe me magic cards. And
why
they're like,
why does he think you owe him $10,000?
I guess for the 2 days he sat around my house and played Magic the Gathering. That's so my $5,000
a day to play your video game?
And I guess because he cured me of my fatness. I guess also that. I guess that's that the price to cure a fat man of fatness and to sit in my house and play Arena is $5,000 a day.
Videos, well not videos, but pictures got released of you sitting down with EDP. And I think you put out a tweet explaining that, you know, this is in reference to Michael Klum and whatnot. You want to talk on that? Go ahead.
So there's only so much I can and can't say to maintain a relationship with Mike Klum. So I will say this. Mike reached out to me not too long ago, and me and Mike talk quite a bit about the different projects he's got running. And he's got a lot. I'm like, who are you working with? And he says, I'm working with EDP. Okay, well, good luck with that, friend. And he's like, I think I would like you to be in it.
Why you?
Makes sense.
Right.
Perfect sense, actually.
I think the goal is a lot of people see that EDP is fat and I'm fat. I think a lot of people see the goal as I'm a creep, he's creep. I'm dating a 20-year-old, he wants to date a 16-year-old. So they're going to make a lot of comparisons. And like Mike said,
let me make one right now. Chat, why does EDP and Boogie, why are they wearing the same exact outfit, just different colors?
I can answer that. King Size Direct is the only place for us to get our clothes.
Tell us about it. What was it like meeting EDP? Okay.
So Mike's like, look, man, it's your opportunity to come grill a man who did all of these terrible things. Don't you want to come grill this guy? And I'm like, yeah, of course I do. And I'm like, Mike, you know how this is going to play for me. Like, this is going to be devastating to my career. He's like, well, I'll pay you. And I like money. So, and he's like, it's a free vacation to Cleveland. And I'm like, yeah, that's fair, too. Get put up in the Hilton, hang out, and have a good time. And all I have to do is come yell at EDP, which is what I agreed to do.
Do you think if the footage comes out, it'll vindicate you?
Probably not. I definitely did some jokey things, some scripty things. You know, I mean, I literally had a script. I read from the script. I'm not a I think if you put me next to an actual I'm going to come out smelling like a rose. Oh, Boogie, you're platforming this guy. I ain't platforming nobody. Mike Klum is platforming somebody, okay? Well, you participated in the platforming. Yeah, I went there with the intention of unloading on this guy, which is a good chunk of what I did.
You were going in on EDP, right? Was he talking shit back?
Yeah, of course. That was the whole shtick. Yeah, and I asked him all the questions you wanted me to ask him, right? Like, why did you do it? Why, you know? But most of that probably won't make the cut. Because that's, I think, and again, I'm getting dangerously close to NDA territory. But I think the bulk of this documentary has to be about EDP getting what he earned and deserved. And I also think a lot of it is him answering for the shit he did. But I get these photos, and he's like, yeah, somebody came by and spray painted this. And I'm like, it's got to be Flaming Star. Who else would it be? He called me a thief. Whoever wrote on the wall wrote thief, and the only person that thinks I'm a thief is Flaming Star, right?
So you're saying this happened at night? Because Flaming Star said he did this in the day.
We discovered at night. We immediately cover up the graffiti with the sheets and garbage bags, because my neighbor shouldn't have to look at that. And we immediately start working on getting the paint off of my roommate's car.
You not have cameras?
To fix that. I did. I have the Ring camera. I wasn't paying for the service. So
I'm just saying, you don't have cameras.
So I do now. I do now. I've got three cameras pointing all around out there. Good luck now, motherfuckers. But at the time, I didn't have
after the Frank Hassel thing, you think you would have put cameras on your house.
Yeah. Like, I understand that, but also, my mind, how the fuck will this ever happen a second time? Like, it happened, that's a once-in-a-lifetime event.
If your ass put cameras up, your buddy would have a lawsuit against Flaming Star, and he wouldn't be getting out of jail right now.
That's not getting out of jail. We'll talk about that.
Problem. You never learn your God's lesson. How could this happen a second time? You didn't just let one, you let two homeless people into your life. Two.
Hey, you want to know something else? I've helped out. You know what? Since the Frank Hassel thing, I've helped out about 10 people. I help out a lot of people. I don't talk about it, and because I know they're going to get harassed if they're in my videos or anything else. Yeah, I'm not publicly. I'm not tweeting about it. Mm-hmm. I let people stay here all the time. I feed people all the time, even when I don't have money for myself. I give money to other people.
Can I talk about the private call that me and you had?
A little bit. I mean, like I would rather you didn't.
Let me start
and then you can go from there. Okay.
Okay.
I called Keemstar in the middle of absolute crisis. I was thinking I was having a heart attack because my blood pressure was rocking at about 180 over 90. I was slurring my speech. My heart was pounding through my chest. We were trying to determine whether or not, I know you called me, Dan, actually. And I was like trying to determine whether or not we should go to the emergency room. Me and Desi had literally, I'm like, Desi's like, look, man, maybe we need to separate temporarily while you resolve all of this because this is a dangerous situation and my parents are very concerned for me. And I'm like, yeah, maybe we will, maybe we won't. We probably shouldn't, though. And like, we talked it over with the parents. We talked it over with her. And so after 5 days of traveling, after filming with EDP, after getting home and surveying the destruction of my home, Dan calls me. And he's like, Boogie, you got to drink a beer and be a man. You got to drink a beer and be a man. And I'm like, dude, I got real problems right now. I need to come up with like $3,000 to fix my house. Like, forgive me for not wanting to drink a beer and being a man.
No, can it's I talk?
Garage door that's white, painted.
Can I talk uninterrupted? Because you've interrupted me every time I've tried to talk about you. So just
well, I probably will interrupt you, but yeah.
Well, I sat there and I was quiet and I let you say your thing, right? You called me. And you said, don't you dare upload that interview. If you use that, they're going to use that interview against
until
me.
He's arrested.
Please let me talk. Let me talk. Let me talk. Let me talk. You said they're going to use that interview against me. Like they used the interview that you did with Frank Hassel against me. And it's all going to work against me. And I'm having a medical emergency right now. And I'm having a heart attack. And all this stuff is happening. And my girlfriend's breaking up with me because she's scared, and then you were crying and all this other stuff, and I said, Boogie, you're having a panic attack. Chill out, maybe sip a beer, change your mindset, everything's fine, nothing bad is gonna happen to you. And I go, no wonder's why your girlfriend's breaking up with you, because you're sitting there crying like a baby. What girl wants to date a full-grown man who's sitting there crying like a
Because we were having that conversation. That's why I was crying. It wasn't like I cried and then she decided, man, I don't feel safe here. It went the other way around. She surveyed the damage. Is like, man, I don't feel safe here right now.
Because you let Flaming Star in your life. You got a girlfriend. You got a roommate. You have dogs. You have people you need to protect. So start protecting your people. Boogie, are you allowed to have a gun?
No.
Because, okay, well, this is why I'm asking, right? Because aren't you a felon? I'm not trying to, like, snitch or anything, but somebody on Reddit had a post.
Oh, hold on.
Somebody on Reddit has a picture of Boogie with a gun. So is Boogie creating a felony? Like, what is going on?
Is he going to do what I think he's going to do?
I just find it funny that he's so worried about this guy's going to come and shoot his house up. He's a crackhead. He'll probably forget about it and just, like, smoke a bowl or some shit.
You want to see my gun?
Yeah.
Here it is. You guys ready? Here we go.
Jesus.
It's a BB gun, you morons. What the
fuck? I actually thought you might do it.
If it was a water gun, if it was a gun.
You got me, Boogie. Good. I think maybe.
Dog, I'm like, Boogie's about to get us demonetized.
How does he get arrested? We have the phone call.
So Monday morning rolls around. And he drives to Fayetteville. Now, at that point, I had already worked with a police officer. I spoke with one on Sunday. My roommate spoke with one on Wednesday. They were building the case. Glenn was working with him as well. And so I get a pretty good suspicion that either Monday or Tuesday, they're going to look to pick him up. So Monday morning, he gets into his car and drives to another person's place of business. Flaming Star drove to this dude's place of business and is like, you need to give me that money right now. I need $3,000 right now. And this rich person said to them, I don't owe you anything. And if you can get a lawyer, if you can get a judge to say, I do owe you, I'll gladly pay you. I don't owe you anything. And I'm not going to give you money I don't owe you. Flaming Star said, well, I'll be back. And when I'm back, I'm going to do to your business what I did to Boogie's house, you know? Then drove away, peeled away. Now, we were entirely certain that Flaming Star was coming here. So I got that phone call that had happened. I called 911. I said, hey, you got to put some extra patrols in my area. They're like, they're already there. And sure enough, I checked my camera. They were driving by my house about once every 7 minutes or so. My camera caught them up every single time. And after an hour or so, we noticed that the cop cars had stopped patrolling. And I'm like, oh, what has happened? So reach out to Glenn. And Glenn's like, they just texted me. They have him in custody. I don't know if he was coming here or going somewhere else. But I do know that if he had not driven to Fayetteville that day and tried to accost his ex-friend Rich, he might still be at large now.
We're going to put this on screen right now. And this is like his like booking information or whatever. So I'm not doxing him. This is like a public
matter
record. Matter of public record. As you can see right here, aggravated assault and criminal mischief in the first degree. Right now, he's sitting in jail with $2,500 bond. $25,000 bond.
$25,000, yeah. So the way bond works, and I learned this last time, if you owe $25,000, then you need to pay a bondsman $2,500. And then they will put up the $25,000. But you also have to put something worth $25,000 up as collateral. In my case, we used my home. I don't think Flaming Star has anything. Now, if he's speaking truth,
nice truck,
and he really is like the Cherokee chief tribe nation, and he's got 1,700 people underneath him, I guess 1,700, they only need to come up with about $2 per Indian. So I think that if he gets bailed out tomorrow, we'll know.
Flaming Star, if you're watching this, right, in the future, what were you thinking? You declared a holy war on the police and then went and committed a crime and then admitted to it. What are you thinking?
And allow my bleeding heart. Nobody believes me when I say like this anyway, but I want to say it anyway. My biggest hope is that Flaming Star gets the help that he needs while he's
in
there.
Oh, my God. Shut up.
The dude needs fucking help. Because, but again, I will benefit if he gets the help he needs, because he won't try to kill me. Because you cannot be mentally well. You can't be mentally well and do what he did, right? Maybe, just maybe, if they get his mind right, my life won't be in danger anymore.
You are the biggest cuck.
Right, you get your mind right.
I'm the biggest cuck. Oh, God forbid. I have empathy. I care about other people.
Let me take the history of Flaming Star. He's 55 years old and broke and getting evicted. He's going to die penniless in probably the cold. You should be trying your life to avoid being Flaming Star.
Yeah, I agree.
Flaming Star, get out of jail. Convince Boogie that you're healed and you're good and you want a second chance, and he will give you his home. I'm telling you that right now. Just take everything you can get off of Boogie. I don't know. You piss me off, Boogie.
I know I do. Look, at the end of the day, I wouldn't be a lolcal if I wasn't overly trusting. I wouldn't be a lolcal if I wasn't a moron. I wouldn't be a lolcal if I didn't do stupid shit. But I have always done stupid shit my whole life, and I presume that if I live to the ripe old age of 55, which would be pretty good for me, I'm going to spend 5 more years doing stupid shit. But at least it's entertaining. At least we can make a
show. You going to forgive him? Are you going to forgive him?
I don't hate you, Boogie.
No, never. I mean, forgive, yes. All right, it sucks that it happened, and I'm not going to harbor any anger or guilt. Trust or forget? No, I'll never forget. Stay the f*** away from me and anybody I know.
Wings, how are you not losing your mind? I know how tight you are with money, right? You think about it all the time. You try to save a penny when you can. You try to make the smart, business decisions. Look at this idiot and everything he's doing with his money, letting homeless people move. How come you're not as mad as I am? Like, when I hear the shit that Boogie, again, I have to deal with this. Like, I'm going to lose my home. I'm going to die. All these things. And it's all his fault. Doesn't that drive you insane?
It's not like Mitch cost me any money. He just slept in a room I wasn't using. We didn't even clean that room. It was filled with magic cards.
I mean, he almost cost you money. Almost cost you a TV. Like in the Mike Plum documentary, you said you got upset when the TV sound speaker stopped working, so you went and spent $170 on a sound bar that you didn't need.
The Mitch situation happened after that, but yes.
Right, regardless, but he threw your whole TV on the ground. That's disrespecting you like a motherfucker.
Well,
in the house that you paid for.
Well, that's why when he sobered up, he got kicked out. But the numbers are going up. We got money coming in from the podcast. I'm very concerned about April. I'm going to have to touch what's left of my crypto savings in April, which I've not touched for a long. Do what? Don't get me started on taxes.
What happens in April?
That. Mortgage. Like everything's really thin.
This podcast alone is going to be paying her mortgage.
Yeah.
Not, like, how much do you think my mortgage is? $2,100. You ain't even close to that right now.
Yeah, that's because you just got paid for January, the month where you guys decided, you know what? Let's take 3 weeks off. It was 18 full days of not working. Dude, he easily would have been able to pay his mortgage and some if you would have just came to work.
Here's the thing. I know what you got paid for January, and I know that you have a roommate that pays something.
No,
and you have a YouTube
nothing,
check.
It's nothing. He helps out.
So dude just lives there for free?
Yeah. He saved my life 25 years ago. So he can do whatever he needs to do.
So he's living there for free.
He does help out a lot around the house, you know, things I can't do or physically can't do, stuff like that.
Like cleaning and making your bed and shit, he does.
He doesn't do anything like that. Desi does that. That's how Desi keeps working.
Didn't he hand you a gun and you had a filing one time? A couple years ago?
Yeah, so maybe we should be even after that, actually.
But, sure, Boogie.
when I was homeless, on some nights, he let me sleep in his room, and then we built our lives together. And on a couple occasions when I was, like, septic and dying in bed, he like, fought with me and got me to the emergency room and kept me alive. And because of that, I told him, for the rest of my life, man, if you need a place to stay, you got it. And I don't think it's going to happen
that
much longer.
Gay boyfriend, Jesus.
Yeah, we are Jay and Silent Bob. He's my hetero life partner. Jay and Silent Bob.
Does he make money?
I mean, I don't talk about his personal stuff.
Does he have a job?
No.
I don't talk about his personal stuff. Does
your roommate have a job? Is he employed?
I will not answer that question because
no.
If they knew where he worked, he would get doxxed, and that's not happening.
You got house. Another.
Oh, you can say yes or no. So he does have a job. Question.
No.
Maybe not. I don't
job
know.
Or
don't
not.
Give him
any job or not isn't doxxing. Does he have a job or not?
I literally have shaken his hand and said, I'm not going to talk about this.
Job or not? That's all I want to know.
You can't learn anything about people if you ask them a job or not.
Does he have some money? Sure. Yeah. Okay. There. That's what we want to know. Does he have some money? Yes.
Take care of Boogie.
So he has a job.
Maybe. He has some money.
Does he leave and go to work at all?
He leaves the house sometimes.
And goes to work, right?
Maybe.
So.
Confirmed or deny nothing.
He could easily give you $500 a month.
Well, the second roommate does help pay some bills.
Oh, you got two roommates.
The bill comes in. Yeah. I had somebody move in 2 years ago, or maybe less than 2 years ago, and that guy will just grab a bill and pay it. So we have that.
No, the bill, $500 a month for both of them. That's $1,000 a month income.
Well, the bills that this person pays can be more than 500 depending on the month. But
do they pay every month?
Yes. The agree is you pay that bill, and then that's taken care of.
What is the bill?
Electricity.
Bro, you got a girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You have roommates. That alone is weird. Don't you want, like, that's just weird, bro.
Yeah, her parents said the same thing, but these are people that I've trusted my entire life. You think that's weird? I was married with a roommate.
Not me.
And in fact, when I was got engaged, my ex-wife, she sat me down, and she's like, look, if we get married, is this person still going to live with us? And I'm like, yes, and it's a deal breaker.
Oh, God.
Right, this is my best friend of 25 years, at 20 years at the time. This is my best friend of 20 years. We are brothers. He saved my ass. And if he wants to live here, he always will. We'll always have space for him.
That is so strange.
Nobody in this house finds it weird. Almost all my friends, even my Walmart.
You're all weird. You think it's completely normal?
Even my friends who are Walmart execs, they live in houses with their friends.
You know, somebody in the chat really made a lot of sense. They said, Keemstar, you're paying for all of Boogie's roommates.
Here's my thing. Like this is good as I say, not as I do, right?
Yeah,
but like if you're having issues paying your mortgage, you could go to a pawn shop and get a push lawnmower. Not only better your health, but cut the grass off.
Well,
paying
prior
to
Desi moving in, I wouldn't have been able to physically do that, dude.
Okay, I got a question. Flaming Star came in your life, hustled you right for these magic cards. You got fucking two people that freeload off of you that live in your home, they couldn't organize the magic cards. They couldn't organize the magic cards.
That's what they're in the middle of doing right now. We're doing it right now.
They couldn't do that. They couldn't do
that. They are doing it. They are doing it.
Before you went to the internet and was like, I'm poor, I got no money, there's nothing I could do. We've been telling you for 3 years to sell all your collectibles.
And I'm not going to until, like I said 3 years ago, when the time comes. It's now the time. So now we're selling it. But the idea was to hold on to it to gain maximum value because collectibles mostly rise with the rate of inflation. So holding on to, you know how you park your money in guns, Jory? I don't know, most rednecks do. You know, you park your money in properties, Keemstar? You know, you park your properties in collectibles? That's what people do. That's what I did. And now I need that money again. So now I'm finally tapping it.
Can you do me a favor? Can you text me your address, Boogie? Yeah.
It's public record. I'll know. Just say it.
Shoot me a text real quick of that. Yeah. I need to know. I need to look something up.
Yeah. Again, at the end of the day, I'm pretty particular about who I live with.
Two seconds. I got to call my lawyer. Bear with me.
Okay. What the fuck is he calling his lawyer?
I need to ask my lawyer to do something.
Yep.
Hey, John.
Yes.
I need two legal letters sent over to the address that I sent you. It's going to Boogie's house to evict his roommates.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Bye.
Done.
There you go.
What does that even mean?
I'm evicting your fucking roommates. I'm sending them legal letters that they have.
Are you gonna pay the rent for one of them? And are you gonna get my lawn mowed and the house worked on and painted?
I'm done paying rent for those freeloaders. They're getting evicted.
Look. Let's imagine I kick the dude out that you think is a freeloader, and then I pay $100 every 10 days in the summer to mow the lawn. I'm out more money right there.
They're gonna have.
Than I would be having.
No, you're gonna mow the lawn. You're gonna take care of your own. Gonna mow the lawn. It's time disabled. To grow up. It's time to.
Disabled. I have a blood pressure of 180 over 90. You want me on the front time to lawn in the summer pushing a lawnmower?
Man. Be a man. Yeah. If you want your roommates to live with you, that's fine. But I don't want them working around the house to pay rent. I want them giving you money. I want you taking care of your house.
Well, okay, then do what I begged you to do on the phone. Do what I begged you to do in the episode. Help me get this goddamn medicine that's literally dropped. Michael's dropped 45 Boogie. Pounds. No, shut up. Mike has dropped 45 pounds on it. Wings has dropped 45 pounds on it. You want to help a motherfucker? Send me $1,500 a month. Let me get some Mounjaro in my ass, and I'll lose as much weight as Jordan. Boogie. I'll lose as much weight as Michael.
I want to point something out to you that you're overlooking. They make riding lawnmowers.
Oh, cool. I'll take the money I don't have and buy a $1,000 lawnmower.
Guys, well, if your roommates paid you, you could get a used one for like $200 off of like Facebook Marketplace.
Chat thinks I'm doing like memes and stuff, but I'm not. I'm so serious, right? Your wife, before you got the divorce, what did she do? She just took care of you. Oh, you need this. Oh, you need that. You need that. And then you keep people around in your house to do the same thing. Run around and do everything. You don't do anything, man.
I'm disabled and I do plenty.
Who cares? I don't care that you're disabled.
I do everything that I can do that my body will let me do, man.
Maybe you wouldn't be disabled if you actually did
okay. Yeah, tell Ricky Berwick if he just run a marathon, he wouldn't be a cripple anymore, fucking idiot.
Yeah, Ricky Berwick is crippled. And you know what I see? I see
him L4 and my L5 are fused together.
I see him getting in wrestling matches. I see him doing all kinds of shit.
Work. You saw me box in London.
I have never
I
seen.
I do as much as I can.
Stop for a minute. I have never seen Ricky Berwick use the fact that he's crippled as a crutch. How many times have we seen
Boogie?
How am
I using it as a crutch? How I'm trying many to explain times, to you there's things I can't do. It's not a crutch.
How many times have
mother,
we seen.
Motherfucker, I'm not. Okay, let's see. You flap your wings and fly. You flap your wings and fly.
Guys, it's not worth the risk.
I have a blood pressure of 180 over 90, and that's before you started this.
Listen to me.
You want me on the 100 degree weather in the middle of the summer with 180 over 90?
Time out. Let me actually respond. Let me respond because you're pissing me off. All right, you are actually making me mad. Listen to
don't
what I'm about.
Me mad. I'm Matt, you're telling me to take
interrupt.
My blood pressure. Why
does he always interrupt me? Let me talk. Let me make a point. You're trying to convince everybody here, 3,500, I don't know how many people is here, and Wings, and Tommy, people that
know you. You're trying to convince us that you can't go with a push mow longer.
Let me life.
Stop hold interrupting on, me. Listen to what I'm saying. Okay, this is the point that I want to make. He's going to try to convince us that he can't do a push mow lawn and mow his lawn, but every night him and his girlfriend go walking and play Pokemon Go. That guy is lying. He's a con man, and we need to call him out. He's walking every day. He's going around playing Pokemon Go.
He's driving his car.
My buddy Dave lost like 300 pounds of Pokemon Go. He never loses a pound.
He's lying to us. He's conning us.
I was gonna say this to Boogie before he left is like this whole weight loss thing me and him are doing. Like I went and bought rakes and I raked my yard myself to get more physically active to try to lose more weight.
Yeah, you can go play Pokemon Go, but you can't mow your lawn, huh?
Yeah, motherfucker. 180 degree weather with a blood pressure of 200 over. 90?
Boogie,
yeah,
can you tell us?
Here, let me get mine
real quick.
Let's do it together. Boogie, let's wait.
Let's do it together.
Can I ask you a question, Boogie? Do you drive around with the Pokemon Go and you not?
Yes, and we also get up and walk as much as I can, which is very little, but we do.
Here's the thing, though, Boogie. It sucks when you first start it, but if you can do it for 21 days, you will build the muscles.
I've been doing it for 6 months.
Have you not noticed a difference in the distance you can walk?
No. I'm disabled. My back.
Hey, you gotta be quiet when you do this, Boogie. You'll up the reading.
My back's not gonna heal no matter how much I walk, you lunatic.
Ready? I forgot to take my pills, so this is gonna be a bad one. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Making another phone call.
This motherfucker out in the 100 degree weather? You want somebody with 185 over 120 blood pressure? Motherfucker. And 100 degrees. Yeah, sounds okay, like a great minute. Plan.
Okay, 1 minute.
Yo, hello.
Listen, Connor, can you do me a favor? You know the city that Boogie lives in, right? In Arkansas? Can you find, can you look up and see if they've ever had summers with 180 degree weather?
100 degrees.
No,
180 for the blood pressure.
You said 180
for the blood pressure. 180 for the blood pressure.
I mean, I'll tell you right now, that's definitely never happened.
Yeah, there's nowhere in the f-ing world that has 180.
You said 180.
I'm talking. I said 100.
All right, thanks, Connor.
The blood pressure is 180. You lunatic.
Did that read 195 over 120?
Yes, I should be in the f-ing emergency room right now.
I was about to say, you probably should go to the emergency room.
Oh, wow. Mine went down.
Boogie, you know why your blood pressure is so bad?
I should be in the emergency room right now.
Okay.
I should be in the emergency room right now.
Then stop yelling.
No, seriously, calm down. Like, you could really kill yourself right now.
Let me do it. Fucking blood pressure. So I should be in the emergency room.
Boogie,
stop. You're going to have a heart attack.
So your face is red right now, Boogie. You should probably calm down.
No! Walk around like this every day! I'm dying!
I forgot my medicine.
I'm telling you! You guys don't fucking listen! My blood is fucking syrup! I have polycythemia! I'm dying over here!
I apologize. I'll take everything back. And here's why. Maybe your roommates don't have to pay rent. If they have to can deal with that, why should they have to pay right on top of it, bro?
Because they're not complete.
Hey, you know, Boogie, my blood pressure is actually, because I have a problem. My blood pressure is actually higher than yours with medicine.
Yours is 190 over 120 right now.
Yeah, go
to the emergency room right now.
I've gone like 3-4 times. I have to ride it out. They tell me to calm the down.
Can I just say that I am a successful self-made multimillionaire and my blood pressure my blood pressure is just fine, and I also mow my own lawn. I do.
And I mow the lawn, Boogie. I mow the lawn, and I have a blood pressure issue. I mow the lawn every year.
Well, I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, I know. Like, my doctor tells me not to sit on my ass because you actually get your blood pressure going.
No, I went to physical therapy. I have physical therapy exercises. That's why we play Pokemon Go. I walk until my back won't let me walk anymore, which is only about 5 minutes at a time. And I do it several times a day. Trust me, my doctor keeps me moving too. That's why I'm not completely disabled.
Could you do it more if you use the walker?
I use the walker. Cleveland.
I'm just saying, like, any little bit extra, like, if you can walk 7 minutes with the walker.
This is me calm right now.
120. As calm as I'm going to get. That's 200 over 120. Before. That's emergency. No, I just took it. Hold on.
I know what it is. I had a heart surgery. You're acting like I never heard of this.
Then hold on. Watch it. You said this is from before. Then watch it right now.
No, you're not even watch close it after. To Tom. That's not.
Then watch it.
You need 10 minutes. You're talking to somebody like you don't know anything about it.
I'd be interested to see what your blood oxygen saturation is.
How does he not have a heart surgery right now? That's what I want to find.
Heart attack is coming. Look at that. I bet 220. You need to go to the emergency room.
I bet both you fat f***s outlive me and it'd be cruel. Joke.
You know what's funny, Tommy? I don't even have high blood pressure.
That's weird. I know. I've seen that before. I just haven't. I had it when I was skinny, though.
I'm not a pre-diabetic.
There you go. Nothing. That's not a previous one. You watched that one live. I'm just saying you watched it live, so you know it's not from earlier. Okay.
All right. Well, what's down 5 points? I know your blood pressure is bad, but you're supposed to go when it's that high. Just to be clear to people in the chat, when it's that high, you're supposed to go immediately. All right. Yeah. But here's the thing: people like me and Pookie, it's.
Yeah, all they do is when you get there,
they send you home, and I've been there. There's not much you can do. You know, for everybody who's freaking out in the chat right now, I know exactly what he's coming to. Let him go to bed, Keem.
What would you tell the person that has 195 over 120?
They need to go to the ER.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to go to the ER. Boogie, go to the hospital.
No, he's probably, Tommy's probably right on this.
He's sent him
because he's probably dealt with it before.
They're just going to send me home. They're going to keep me for observation for one day. I'll miss recording tomorrow. I'll be out $5,000 that I have to pay for being in the room. I'll be out $2,000 for going to the emergency room.
I bet on a good day.
And they're not going to do anything because I'm already on a Tylenol and I'm already on Losartan. What's a new year?
And here's another thing.
It's a new deductible.
If it clips him, going to hospital is not going to be. Let's say something happens. He has a stroke or heart attack. It's not like you'll have it at the hospital.
Boogie, you need some rest. So
yeah, thank you.
Any final words tomorrow when you wake up, Boogie? Though, go mow your fucking lawn. If you wake up. ladies and gentlemen, another great episode of Lulco Live. Unfortunately, during the making of this episode, Boogie2988 died. Let's send him out on a good note. You better mow the lawn in heaven, you fat